Some of the first legislation to make it through both chambers happened today. That includes House Bill 1246.
That's correct. This was pretty unusual, actually, to have this early in the session, to have a bill that has been through a hearing in the House, a hearing in the Senate. It perfected in the House today, was third read, and passed will be sent to the governor, and I'm sure the governor will sign that very quickly. It was a concerted effort. It's been the culmination, I think, of several years. Representative Gloria Brown has been working on the trafficking issue for a long time. Senator Scott Sifton made a pretty passionate speech as a point of personal privilege on the Senate floor during the debate of the bill, acknowledged how hard she's been working and how much work she did. She will not get the credit for the bill because she is currently facing a very serious illness that prevents her from being with us, and therefore the bill was sponsored this year by Patricia Pike, which is a House district within my Senate district. And Patricia, I think, displayed the same kind of passion for the bill and determination, but it was acknowledged that Representative Brown was the one that has really been championing this issue for a long time, and it was appropriate that she be recognized. The bill doesn't do a lot structurally, but what it does, we think, will be very effective and helpful. It puts in place a postering protocol that makes sure that in high traffic areas, and especially where the human trafficking threat is the highest, in establishments where that might be likely to have folks who are currently being trafficked nearby, that it gives them a number to call, a website, if there's any way that they can have access to something. If someone could escape just for a few moments and find a phone, it gives them a number they could call that can give them a contact to hopefully get them help and get them out of that area, maybe even bring some of the traffickers to prosecution. We don't know how far it might reach, but we know that publishing that access in other areas has been effective. So we're hoping that this has a real positive impact on helping young men and women, mostly women, get out of that trafficked area and maybe get to some semblance of a normal life afterwards. I know Representative Pike was there for the final third read vote, encouraged that she was able to see that. She certainly deserves encouragement because of the work that she did on the bill. But Representative Brown from the St. Louis area, those that know her should absolutely congratulate her on the culmination of some very hard work that she's done.
Give us an update on the utility bill, Senate Bill 564.
Sure. We've had that bill up a couple of times and had some discussion about what its content is. I hope to have the bill back on the floor next week to work further on it. We have decided on some changes that we'll be making to the bill that I think will make it even better than it is now. Should have a very positive impact on the people that are considering whether or not they will support the bill. I think we have the support in the Senate to pass it. I do anticipate that we may have some pushback from a small group of senators who have had some resistance to it. We haven't always been able to clarify exactly what their resistance was and try to address it specifically, but I'm hoping that next week we see some progress and that we see that bill back on the floor and hopefully bring it to a completion.
When you talk about that pushback that's been around off and on for most of this idea's life, is there any sign of light at the end of the tunnel, as it were?
I think there is. I don't know yet exactly how many hours of debate that may take. It could be that it will be filibustered for some time, but I'm hoping with the changes that we're going to be adding to the bill that maybe that will either remove that objection or at least mitigate it somewhat. We'll be working hard to try to address it as much as we can, so that the more floor time we take on a bill, on any bill, the less time we have for other legislation. I confess I sometimes see that as positive because we're prone to pass things that take away freedom instead of advancing freedom. I do think that there are some issues that really do need to be addressed. I believe this is one of them. I think our 100-year-old regulatory environment and many-year-old grid in many instances, especially in the St. Louis area, somewhat in Kansas City, but St. Louis is just in such dire need for modernization, and there's so many advantages that can be realized as a state if we can somehow bring into place a regulatory environment that would encourage that modernization. And I'm hoping that that will compel some of the opposition to, if they're still opposed to it, to vote no and not just try to keep us from coming to a vote.
Is this, I hate to sound doom and gloom, is it a situation where it would almost take some sort of shutdown of the grid to wake people up to realize that, hey, this is pretty serious?
Well, I don't think we'll see a shutdown of the grid. That's not going to happen. What happens is that the modernization will go on, but it goes on at a snail's pace because it goes on basically in the process of repairing the grid. Instead of maintaining the grid, what we're trying to do is modernize the grid. In the maintenance of the grid, there is modernization because you're not going to replace replace an old analog meter with another analog meter. You're going to replace it with a digital meter. So that's going to be an upgrade. If a substation goes down, chances are the components that you put back in are going to be more modern than the components that went down. That's going to happen. The problem we get into, Dean, is that at the current rate of modernization, which is at a maintenance rate rather than aggressive rate, we're talking about 40 to 50 years before we have a modernized grid. In that time period, you're going to have additional advances in grid modernization so that those things that we're modernizing right now via maintenance are now going to need to be upgraded again. They're going to need to be modernized again. Once we get to a place where we can build more resiliency into the grid, I think we're going to see some real benefits to consumers, and also where consumers can control their electricity costs more effectively. If we can just accelerate how that's happening right now, consumers are going to see the benefits of that right away. I think we're going to see a bending of the cost curve. We're going to have the kind of improvements in service that I think customers are really going to want. So it's going to happen. It depends on whether it's going to happen in my generation or your generation or the next generation.